Jonathan Rand is the producer of this program, and he likes to sing.
Yeah.
It's time for Rand to
acapella the news. Well, boys, when we left yesterday, it seemed pretty obvious that Jabari Smith was going to be the number one pick, at least to Vegas.
That's what they said.
So much so to where one of my friends texted me like an hour before and said, "Who's going number one?" And I just texted Jabari. And then at like 8:30, he called me immediately and was like, buddy. So thankfully, he did not put any money down. But if you did, I'm sorry, because it was Paolo.
Come see the signs. Oh, these Vegas lines are awesome time. Sorry, Jabari. Yeah, I made a bet, didn't consider Chet. Thought this was a done deal, though. First pick saw a trick or two. Yeah, that dark blue was too enticing. Kind of surprising him realizing his name was about to be called Paolo. You get to play in Orlando. They got Banchero. We'll take them where, though.
We don't know yet, although it might not help a whole lot. Can you name another Orlando Magic player currently?
Yeah, Cole Anthony.
Scott.
They have not one, but two Wagner brothers who were on my championship NBA fantasy team. Perhaps one of my greatest. I had a great draft. Franz Wagner? You had Franz Wagner?
I'm sorry.
And Josh Giddey?
I'm sorry. Did you just say all of that just to sneak in the fact that you had a championship?
I'm not talking.
you just did.
You just did.
You're on the clock. You talked about your fantasy seconds. Basketball team. You're on the clock.
I got it.
Well, he asked me to name more Magic players.
Yeah, but you could have done that without referencing the fact that you had a fantasy basketball championship team.
It's fair, but would that be, though?
I'm just saying, you're down to like, are you down to like a minute 30?
I've got so much time left.
I think he's got like 3.5.
How much time did we technically agree to?
You gave me 5 minutes.
5 total minutes, yes. For the rest of the year.
Yes.
You've got to be down to about 3 more minutes.
Yeah.
All
this
right.
is only the second time I've brought it up.
I'm just saying.
Josh Giddey.
Careful. That's another second.
That's
another second. 2 minutes and 59 seconds. That's all you got left. Let's answer some Hey Joe questions. Joe cracked it on.
All righty. First up on Hey Joe, I was going to have a fantasy basketball question for Jillia, but I couldn't do it in time. From Piper on Twitter. Hey Joe, how many drafts does Duke need to win to get some respect?
Jeez. Man, the shade for Duke last night as they had 4 guys go in the first round, 5 guys overall. Paolo Banchero, overall number one. My favorite part of the night actually was related to a tweet from USA Today columnist Dan Wolkin. I'm buddies with Dan. Dan's good people. He's been a guest on this program before, but he tweeted this out last night. Duke made the Final Four with the 1, 15, and 16 pick. When you consider they didn't make the Final Four with the 1, the 3, and the 10 in 2019, I think it's fair to say Coach K really overachieved in his final season. That's a joke. That's funny. Dude, the people who read that and took him seriously, the amount of Carolina fans were like, what's wrong with you? It's clearly a joke. Who's going to take that as a serious tweet from Dan Wolkin, except for people who are so hell-bent on dunking on Duke that they are obtuse when it comes to an obvious joke? Look, man, sell what you got to sell. Getting to a Final Four is pretty impressive. I think we can all agree there, right?
Yeah.
Getting to a Final Four is impressive.
In a vacuum, yes.
Winning NCAA tournament games can be a crapshoot.
No doubt about that.
Fair?
Yes.
Okay. The thing that paints Duke's season entirely, I know this is not a popular thing to say, and I know that Duke fans don't want to hear it, but if you strip the losses to Carolina out of the equation, including the one in the Final Four, we view Duke's season entirely differently.
Other than that, Mrs. Krzyzewski.
I know.
How was the play?
I know. I understand that. So, on one hand, hey, man, you made it to the Final Four when a lot of people were thinking that the pressure would get to them and it wouldn't happen. Oh, by the way, you lost to Carolina again and that's the last game in Mike Krzyzewski's career. Just like they lost to Mike, just like they lost for Mike Krzyzewski's last game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Yeah, man, that's what's going to paint your entire season. But ultimately, if you strip those two, if you just take away that 30-point run, Joe, if I can go full Jeff Bezdelic logic here, it's fine.
You know what's crazy though, and Duke will get the last laugh here, and that is because other players, like, we're sitting here, we've been in the Triangle 25 years, we understand all of this back and forth. Upcoming players, they don't care.
No, they don't.
You know what they care about? Hey, how many guys did you put in the NBA?
Yes.
They put 5 guys in the NBA last night, 4 in the first round. Let's just put that in perspective. You have to go back 16 years to get 5 guys out of NC State into the NBA in the draft. You got to go back to 2006. We can do this for Wake Forest. We can do this for Notre Dame. We can do this any other program. They literally put 5 guys in the NBA last night, and that's what the next crop of recruits is going to care about. So last night was a win for Duke. Now, that doesn't mean Carolina fans can't still lord over them the 2 wins that they had over them last year, but that's the fans. That's not the players who are coming through the pipeline.
Next up.
What's that you say? Next up on Hey Joe from Bill on Twitter. Hey Joe, seeing some guys not get drafted and the money being made with NIL means more guys will stay in college, right?
I don't think it means anything. I think what it means is that guys who would have been inclined to stick around a college program because they like the college experience, they like being there, they like being with their boys, now have an option to stick around. We'll use because people like to bring up Carolina and the family, and it's a great place to be, et cetera, et cetera. Let's give you a hypothetical. Do you think Zion Williamson would have stuck around Duke another season with name, image, and likeness codified?
Potentially.
I think he would have. I think he liked the college experience. I think he liked all of that, and that the NBA could have waited. Could have made a decent amount of money given the star power that he had. I mean, what's Armando Bacot going to clear at Carolina?
According to him and his mom in a story with Sports Illustrated, more than $500,000 next year.
How much do you think Zion Williamson could have cleared in 2019? And this is not meant as a knock to Armando Bacot, because
sure,
Armando Bacot's making a good chunk of money for level that he's at. Zion was a national phenomenon.
I can't resist. There's a couple of lawsuits that said he cleared more than that even before NIL.
I'm just saying.
But with actual NIL, I've always argued Zion with all of the Instagram followers that he had. Because remember, this wasn't just, hey, he's a really good player. He can dunk. He makes this crazy block in the corner.
He was a force.
Against DeAndre Hunter. No. Like, he had this amazing following. And we've seen this with female athletes. And their followings on Instagram have led them to be able to cash in on name, image, and likeness. So I think it's, you know, you're using the exception there for the rule for with Zion, but
yeah,
I would say if anything less than $3 million would be low.
Ultimately, to answer the question from the listener, to me, I think it comes down to
your position.
Your position, also not just your position, but your situation. Mm-hmm. Everybody's situation is different. Like, we'll take Darian Sebron, right? Darian Sebron's older, probably ready to go play, didn't want to be in college anymore. Got himself a nice deal with the Pelicans. He's got a 2-way deal with the Pelicans.
Sure.
He's going to spend time with that NBA team and their G League affiliate. That made sense. We're like in another NC State case, Trevor Lacy, right? Trevor Lacy got to a point where he's a little too old, ready to move on. No big deal, right? But if Darian Sebron was a little younger, let's say, and he's a popular player here. And
Sebron could have made more money in name, image, and likeness than he will in a 2-way deal next year. Yes. That's a fact.
Then he would have stuck around, I think.
No, he turned down the money. He was offered the money. He turned it down because he was ready to move on in his life.
Saying, that's why I was saying if he was younger.
Oh, yeah. If he's younger, Terquavion Smith would be your
okay. Terquavion is that example.
But what I'm saying is, like, we've seen with Kentucky, Oscar Tshiebwe, and now we see with Armando Bacot out of Carolina. Yeah. They may not have a apples-to-apples spot in the NBA that they do in college basketball. So if you're Tshiebwe, I'm sure, is getting more than $1 million at Kentucky, I would imagine. You say to yourself, well, do I really want to go toil on the bus in you know, El Dorado, Texas, and the El Dorado 88ers? Like, I'm not interested in that. I'd rather, and let's be quite frank, you're the big man on campus at Kentucky basketball or Carolina basketball. There are other perks to that, and living the life of the king of campus is pretty good.
Next up.
Oh, no, Joe.
Next up, in non-COVID times, I should add, as well, because they had the experience that they had was basically taken away from them.
Next up from Dimitri on Twitter. Hey, Joe, can you guys do an Axe body spray draft?
We did the chicken tender draft yesterday. A little controversy. Some people were upset that they didn't see some of their favorite chicken tender places on the list. A lot of late entries, you know, for like My Way Tavern. A lot of people with the Raising Cane's love. I get all that stuff. But hey, we put it out there. Could have called in. Could have gone. We probably could have gone six or seven rounds yesterday if we really wanted to. But time.
I mean, you could have.
Time did not allow for that. Yes, I could have.
Let me ask you a serious question.
I could have tipped some picks for you.
Let me ask you a serious question. When's the last time you ordered chicken tenders at a restaurant? You personally.
Sunday.
You did.
Yeah.
In prep or?
No, like I was at Popeyes in the airport. I got chicken tenders. I didn't get the chicken.
That's not a restaurant. Like, you're at Popeyes.
No, because you can get other things at Popeyes. You get the chicken sandwich. You can get actual, like, bone-in. You want dark.
When's the last time you went to an establishment that wasn't Popeyes or Bojangles?
Alamo Draft House.
And said, I'm willingly going to get the tenders.
I'm now giving you the answer. Okay. Alamo Draft House.
When was that?
It was probably two movies ago, whatever that was. Because I don't know.
In a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. What?
What I'm getting at is, I feel like at a certain point when you're an adult, you don't order chicken tenders. That's not to say I don't order nachos. That's not to say I don't order wings.
I mean, given the choice, am I getting nachos or chicken tenders? I'm going to get nachos every single time.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what I'm getting at. Like, if you're presented with a menu.
Trashier the nachos, the better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nachos, a cheesesteak.
Yeah.
These are all things that I'm sitting here thinking to myself. There's never been a point in my life where I've ever ordered a tender over a wing, ever.
Yeah, but you've also ordered a chicken breast at a Waffle House at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Don't knock it.
2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They have the best chicken breast.
I'm just saying.
That's not a tender, though, is it?
I mean,
no,
it can't be. I mean, but my point is, people go to places and order things that you would go, why did you order that? Like, for instance,
you're
getting a chicken. Now, I understand why you do it, because that chicken's getting all the seasoning off the griddle.
Yes.
All right.
The best seasoning.
Of course. It comes off the actual... It actually comes off the cooking surface.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I mean, I guess they brought tater tots back.
Yeah.
So I guess...
Dude, loaded tater tots are the best.
Okay. Let's just ease up on the tachos.
Tachos, man. Love tachos. Or you can find that at a couple places. I remember when... remember the Busy Bee?
Yes.
In downtown Raleigh?
They had unbelievable tots.
They had great tots. And now it's a great concept. I do love Young Hearts Distillery because the guys from Trophy run that place and they change it over to a distillery. They got good stuff over there. But they had a tot burger at Busy Bee back in the day.
The burger was on tots?
They had a burger.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll put cheese and lettuce and tomato. Sometimes you put fried onion strings.
There was a bun, though.
There was a bun. It was a burger. So bottom bun,
burger.
And then they loaded tots on top of it.
Okay.
And then all the loaded tot stuff on top of that.
Okay.
And then top bun. It was amazing.
So two of my favorite things to do, and I realize people in Pittsburgh are like, this doesn't make you unique. I love to put potato salad on my burger.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that all the time.
I've seen that.
Number two is if it's a cold sandwich, like turkey and cheese, I will put Ruffles or a potato chip on the sandwich.
I've done that, too.
Also excellent.
Sometimes I've put in. What's wrong? Do I speak English?
Wow.
Sometimes
Country Joe.
I'm putting. Hey, look, it comes out from time to time. I've lived here long enough, so I'll put Ruffles in.
I'm fixing to be putting.
I'll put Ruffles on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No, I've never done that,
dude. Try it. Adds a little extra texture. Now you're probably thinking, why do you just have crunchy peanut butter? Well, because crunchy peanut butter is not a thing I like. And I like the extra saltiness that comes with the potato chips.
Wait. You don't like crunchy peanut butter, or you don't prefer it to creamy?
Well, give me creamy every single day.
Okay.
It's not like I won't eat crunchy peanut butter.
That's what I'm getting at.
But
you're not like going to hold your nose and be like,
no, get this out of here.
Because
it's peanut butter.
Right.
I love peanut butter. It is my number one food.
One time we were at, I can live off peanut butter. One time we were at Louisville.
Yeah.
When I was covering Carolina, and Louisville had a peanut butter and jelly station for the press meal.
What?
Yes.
What?
And I said to Bubba Cunningham, I go, if you had peanut butter and jelly for your press meal, everyone would love you. And he goes, are you being serious right now? I think people would never want that. I go, oh, you are severely underestimating the appreciation of a good PB&J. And they had the different jellies.
Yeah.
I believe they even had like a little fluff action in there too.
Yeah. Oh,
like I was like they had a lot of the bases covered.
Now we're talking. Hey, low key peanut butter Nutella sandwich, game changer. Next up,
made a mistake.
Last up from Kane's Ombudsman on Twitter. Hey Joe, is Briar Creek walkable?
All right, there's context to this question. And I know where it's coming from. Our friend Sarah Sivian of The Athletic. I don't know what Sarah Sivian does to... There is something about Sivian that breaks the brain of sports bros around here, and I'll never understand why. Is it because it's a woman talking hockey? Is that what it is? That's what's the easiest answer? Here's a woman talking hockey. Therefore, it breaks the brain of sports bros. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is that Sivian has the audacity to point out that, hey, Raleigh ain't that walkable of a city. She tweeted that, I think, last night. And people
are like,
what
is the controversy of that?
How dare you, Sivian? And I'm sitting here going, what did she say that was wrong? Raleigh is not a walkable city unless you are a very small group of people that has a condo in downtown Raleigh. Other than that, it ain't walkable. Hell, I could technically walk to North Hills, but it ain't that walkable. It ain't that walkable, okay? So, yeah, Raleigh's not exactly a walkable city. They're trying. Like, if somebody came from out of town and you plopped them in Raleigh, they would not be able to function and do a full... They would not be able to have a full experience of Raleigh just walking around the city. I could do that in Charleston. I could do that in New Orleans. I could do that in New York City, obviously, and other places, but you can't do that in Raleigh. That is my very definition of what is a walkable city. Raleigh is not one of them. If somebody were just visiting here and they stayed at the Marriott in downtown Raleigh, the city center one, that's a Marriott, right?
Yeah.
You'd be able to hit a couple things, but when people start recommending, oh, you got to do this, and oh, you got to do that, like, oh, you should go to the art museum. How are you going to get to the art museum exactly? You're going to have to drive.
You're not walking.
You ain't walking to the art museum. Oh, man, you know, you should really check out NC State's campus. From the city center Marriott? No. Well, you're not doing it. No.
Start stretching.
You can get to the jail at least.
Buddy, stretch. I would say it's even a stretch to tell people to walk down a Trophy, for heaven's sake. Trophy Pizza.
Come now.
Come on now.
That's still far.
Unless you're getting on one of those, one of the scooters. Mm. Are scooters involved? That's not walkable now, is it? Anyway, so I was going to say, with Sivian, like, guys, you don't have to follow her, but I know why you do. I know why you do. Because you like getting triggered by Sivian. She's my people.